The Sharpened Artist Color Pencil Podcast, inspiration and innovation.
We're talking everything you want to know about this medium that we love so much.
And we're your hosts, John Middick and Barb Sotiropoulos. Hey there, welcome back to the show. My name is John Middick, and you're listening to The Sharpened Artist Color Pencil Podcast. And sitting right over there is my co-host, Barb Sotiropoulos. And Barb, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. All right. So, Barb, what has been going on with you? Anything new?
I mean, yes, something new. This is actually, it's actually been a year in the making. A little bit more, actually. But I finally am able to talk about that I have three different products right now that are out on the market with Staedtler, and they have my artwork on it. So for people with the video version, you get
That's so awesome.
So this is the first one. It's the 24 pack of the Norse color colored pencils. And it has a little globe earth illustration that I did on it. If you go to my Instagram, you'll be able to see more images of these, and I'll have them up on my website at some point too. But these ones, I found these ones in Walmart, so that was cool because that's a giant store.
Very nice. Yeah, I've heard
of it.
Just
a little store called Walmart.
I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
They're a little mom and pop shop. They're doing okay.
Yeah, they used to be.
And then I did a cover for two sets of watercolor pencils. One is in a box and one is in a tin. So there's an 18 and a 24 set. One is a sea turtle. And
the other one is
some koi fish. So I'm really excited because both of these are, I found them in Staples and Michaels. I got to say, I'm a little excited about being in Michaels. I did used to work in Michaels back in the day.
That's nice.
Still a store that I frequent. So it's really cool. I'm not going to lie. I also found a random employee when I was in there the other day and dragged her over to show her. I was like, I'm sorry. I know you don't know me. This is so random.
I'm sure.
I was like, can I show you something really cool? Well, because here's the thing. Like,
it's not every day you get to meet the artist on the cover of some of these products.
Well,
you know?
And even like a local Calgary artist, like the Michaels in my neighborhood, you know, like I guess like most people here, I just assume it's always an American artist or someone somewhere else in the world. So I don't know. I thought that was cool. I was like, look, it's me.
Cool.
So,
right.
Anyways, I did share it with my my friends and family as well. And I got a lot of nice compliments. I mean, there's people on my Facebook that have known me since I was a child and, you know, drawing with colored pencils. And I think, you know, one of the things that's really exciting about being on this packaging and it having such a wide range of where it's available is that I remember my first set of really nice pencils were Staedtler pencils. And like, I'm pretty sure I just drew like a bunch of Disney characters with them, but I just remember it was like, I took such good care of them. I mean, it's why I still have the tin, right? I took such good care of it because I just, it was just like the coolest thing I'd ever had, right? Like the nicest set of art supplies at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to be sort of, it feels very like full circle to be in this position where it's like, I could potentially be inspiring some young artist now to,
you know,
want to draw what's on the cover. We actually, I brought a few of these over and gave them to, my niece and nephew, and they just like were in awe, and I was like, look, my name's even on the back. I'm not lying. It's me.
So, right.
But, you know, it's just cool. It's cool to see that, right? Like, it's cool to be part, to sort of potentially be part of somebody's journey at the beginning stages, right? Like, it's kind of a cool, it's very surreal, but it's very cool. And I'm really excited about it. So
congratulations. That's so awesome. And that's forging those relationships and then working. And you don't see the fruition of that until so long. You know, so many years later, sometimes.
I mean,
in fact, it is years a lot of time.
Technically, I've done five for them now, but the first two that I did were only available in select stores in Canada, I believe. So it wasn't really, it didn't have the reach that this will. So this is this is like a quite a bit more of a bigger deal. And I mean, these things, you know, sometimes these packages live in market for a really long time. Yeah. And sometimes I still see Kendra's work out there too. She did a set of shoes. I think in her episode is 327. We did, John right. specifically did an interview with her. And yeah, it's just cool to see that and to be part of that now. And I mean, you know, my little tin is on walls with, like, you know, Morgan Davison's works up there, you know, Lisa Clow, Jesse Lane.
Oh, like, that's awesome. Yeah.
You know, like some of the other artists in our, you know, colored pencil community. And so right. like, you know, it, even though it is, you know, and it's just cool to sort of be being displayed in that same context.
Absolutely. Is, yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Congrats to Thanks. You. That's so cool.
So, John, you went to the CPSA convention. How was that?
I did.
It's in your stomping grounds this time.
Yeah, exactly. And so that made it nice as far as, you know, commuting. I was able to just, you know, stay at my house and drive up there each day for, you know, the extended amount of time. So I didn't have to stay at the hotel. The downside of, and it really isn't a downside, but the thing you don't think about, I guess, is you're volunteering to help out, you know, but there were so many volunteers in our chat. We got a huge chapter. I think we still have the largest chapter in the nation. So we had a lot of volunteers. People are just so great. We were overstaffed, you know, which made it nice.
Oh, that's better than not having enough people. Right?
Right? Yeah, no. So it was great. I got to meet up with a whole bunch of artists that I've, you know, met before, some I've never met in person before. So that was nice. And just, you know, just being around your people that are passionate about creating color pencil artwork and other art, and being able to talk shop with them. And it was nice. It was so good.
I saw a sneak peek of, like, the little swag bags people get, and I was like, oh, there's a swag bag.
They're very nice. Yeah, the swag bag from the national board was, you know, was nice. And then our local chapter, we also had a little bag. Yeah, and I had an ad in there. I'm giving everyone a product in there, so that was kind of cool.
I would love to one day go. I know you and I had roughly talked about me coming to this one, but I wasn't able to make that happen.
Well,
this
you
year,
had some other things and trips.
I bought a house and stuff.
Yep, and that little things like that.
Just a little thing. Just a little thing. But yeah, I do. It is on my bucket list to attend one day. So we'll see. Hopefully, I can make that happen.
I have to say though. And I know you feel the same way, but I'm so excited that Catherine Hansen won the CP Award.
Catherine, oh, so my goodness, proud of so you. Good.
Yes.
So, so happy. Listen, her it work. Was,
it,
honestly.
I saw that piece online, but it's different. It's so much better in person. And it,
yeah,
it was so deserving. It is such a good piece. It's amazing. It's so good.
I just said, yeah, like I've seen it in person and I haven't, but what one
but,
thing
but
I
even,
said,
yeah, but even seeing it online, you can appreciate the art.
Sure.
Artistry of it.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And what
the
I said to John.
The composition's unreal.
Right. Yeah. So what I said to John before we started the podcast, when we were talking about this, was that as I'm sure some of you know, sometimes it's hard to photograph your colored pencil artwork and have it kind of feel like it did it justice. And I always felt like Catherine's work just looks so impressive in a photo that it had to be impressive in person. And so, you know, when John was describing it and saying it was just like, incredible, I was like, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? It's amazing. And Catherine, my goodness, congratulations.
Yeah.
Very well deserved. If you haven't seen her piece, please go look it up online.
Yeah,
she
go
did a phenomenal
CPSA
job.
Website, and you'll see all the winners there.
The blades of grass alone, never mind the cat or the little bird in the, like, the blades of grass alone, like, I would have looked at that and just been like, nope.
Technically, I mean, she's an artist through and through, just so good at what she does. And that level of realism, that's our goal. Beyond that, the composition was even just so good. And I know how much work she puts into her pieces and how she works a long time to make sure she preps and has everything thought out right from the beginning. So it shows.
What's funny also is I know she's probably going to hear this and she's going to be like embarrassed probably and like blushing. And Catherine, I just want to say to you, you just need to hear these compliments. You need to take right. them in. You right, need to right. just like feel the love.
Yep.
Just you deserve this. And yes. we're very happy for you. And yes. and congratulations again. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Anybody that wins an award, and there were several this year, and they're all very deserving. I mean, it's a different judge every year. And, you know, it's so congratulations to everyone that won something in the show. And for those of you that also got in the show, congratulations. Yeah,
there's some it's incredible really cool. work. And I don't know if anyone saw, but John posted a little walkthrough, I think on Instagram. Was it just on Instagram or did you?
Well, no, I first put it over there in my private community.
Oh, okay. Monthly Sharpener. Great. Yeah.
And then later off, a couple of weeks later, I think I put it over there in on Instagram or something.
Well, if you're not part of the community, you should be. And if you're if that still isn't enough to convince you, go over to John's Instagram.
That's
watch it there.
that's the least of which reasons of to join the community.
I'm only There's giving so you one more, reason, but... and that's going to be good enough. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, but anyway, it was a good show. It really was.
Awesome.
And a lot of vendors are always there, and that's always nice too. Nice. So the other thing that I've been doing is, as you know, Barb, I am prepping for a solo show that I've got coming up in late 2025. So I'm trying to plan and prepare for that. I've got to have I've got to go back and count again. I think it's around 40 new pieces, so that's a lot. So I've got, you know, I'm starting some planning right now on how to achieve that by that date and have everything framed, ready to go, ready to hang, in that space.
You should share this in a future episode with all the listeners, just your process going through this. Cause I think they would really love to hear that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I really should do that. And that'll help me, keep my feet to the fire as well. And make sure I'm on track. Well, here's the thing. I don't want to stress out on the 11th hour, you know, and be like, oh, my goodness, down to the wire. I got to get 10 pieces done this week or something. You know, I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying, you know, takes some planning to get this.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. I was going to say, I think everyone would be really interested in hearing that, especially because, you know, there is a certain amount of work that goes into participating in something like that. And I think it would be really interesting to hear that from the perspective of a colored pencil artist as well, because, you know, painting, for example, is a very quick medium comparatively.
I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm going to tell you.
Sure.
It's going to be mixed media. A lot of it will be.
But anyone planning to do the same, you know, it might be a really valuable, you know, especially because of our topic today that we're talking about day in the life of our artist. I mean, you know, you can.
Is that what we're talking about? I was curious.
We're getting down the minute, but what I'm saying is
I was wondering.
Everyone's like, wait a minute, is the title on this wrong? I think there's some really valuable insights in, you know, how you're going about that, how you're also working that into your rest of your daily routine and all your other commitments that you have, right?
So, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Yeah. So why don't we get into that? I mean, let's talk about this, Barb. So Barb and I we've been talking about doing this show probably longer than any other show, guys, because we don't want to just give you an unrealistic look. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a day in the life of an artist, a realistic look at it. This is the reality of it, guys. So if you're considering becoming a full-time artist, you know, we're just going to give you an honest look at what it takes to set yourself up for success. But we're not going to give you the view of it through rose-tinted glasses because we want you to make a measured decision on it, right? It is the best job ever. I'll tell you that. I truly believe that. And very rewarding. If you're somebody who you're creating artwork and you want to do it for a living, then I want you to be able to hear this. So this is the reason why Barb and I talked a lot about this before we ever decided to hit the old record button.
For sure. And I mean, just as a disclaimer too, it may sound like we're complaining a little sometimes. We're really it's really just, I think it is important to give both the good and the bad side of things. And I think, you know, while it's important to obviously skew to the positive, because we're, you know, we're not here to be downers about it, I think it is important for anyone considering to take this path to understand sort of the pros and the cons of it, or just some of the challenges that come along with it. Because there are days where it's hard. It's extremely hard. And it's not for the faint of heart sometimes, that's for sure. So I mean, we'll get into that more as the episode goes on, but definitely our intention is obviously to give you an honest outlook, but also to, you know, obviously highlight the positives of it as well.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about specifically the realities of running your own art business. We'll talk about the best practice tips that we can give you for being an entrepreneur, and some of the key takeaways then at the end, so we can just kind of summarize what we've talked about. Okay. All right. So you want me to go ahead and go first here, Barb?
Let's talk about your day. Cause I mean, our days are kind of different, but I think you're going to come from a definitely different perspective. So.
Well, yeah. So my day is quite different since 2018. When I started doing this full time, as opposed to when I had a corporate job and then I was burning both ends of the candle the whole time. But yeah, it's different today. And one of the biggest things is in that transition, I won't talk a lot about that transition, but just to say this, I had to figure out how to bookend my workday. And I couldn't just say, okay, I'm going to work on this whenever I got up and whenever I went to bed. I had to figure out, I need a daily routine. I need a wake up morning routine. I need a evening shutdown routine. And that has really transformed a lot of things, thanks to the full focus system for that. That's what I use. Okay, so starting out, I get up around 6:30 to 7 o'clock every morning. And then after that, I'm usually, and I know that there's some controversy with this, but a lot of days, yes, I am checking my email. Okay. I'm only checking it quickly. It's a cursory glance at the beginning of the day, because if there's any big thing that happened, then I want to know about it right then. Like if my website went down or my courses went down or something like that, I want to know about it right away. Or somebody is just in, you know, dire need of something, you know, some huge customer service issue. Those don't happen very often. The huge ones don't. Then I want to know about it right then. Other than that, I put it away and I don't have pop-up alerts on my phone. I've made a decision not to have those in any way, shape or form. I take that back. WhatsApp is different because I want to make sure I can communicate with Barb.
I was going to say, I'm like,
and a few other people, but that's, yeah, but that's about it. Other than that, I don't have these pop-ups. Okay, so daily planning, though, is huge. And that's what I do in the morning. And I've positioned everything where my mornings are planning. They're all about planning and organizing my day and making sure that everything I said I was going to do from the day before, I'm actually starting on and doing. But then I also review everything, depending on where I am in the week and in the month, I'm reviewing things to make sure I'm still on target for many of the things that I decided I was going to do. So the planning is a big deal. I utilize ClickUp software, Full Focus Planner system, like I talked about, Google Calendar, Google Tasks, and a few other tools like that, just to make things a little bit easier. And then I differentiate between whether or not I'm doing backstage a day, or is this a front staging day? So what that means is, am I recording a voiceover today? Am I primarily recording a voiceover today? Most days, whether, you know, this may be hard to believe, I don't know, maybe everyone believes it, but I've talked to people though in real life that have regular jobs, and I'll tell them some of the things that I'm doing every single day, and they're like, why do you do that? Where does that go? You know, I'm recording some way, shape, or form every single day. It's rare that I'm not. It's usually a Saturday or Sunday. I don't. I'm off on Sundays. I do not do any work on Sundays. But on Saturdays, sometimes I'm not recording then. But every other day, guys, and Barb, you can probably believe it, but I'm recording either a voiceover or doing a video, or I, if I'm not doing that, then I'm prepping for one, okay? And so when I'm in that mode, though, where I'm doing all this recording, though, and that's the primary focus of the day, that's what I will term then as an onstage day. And if I'm doing something where I'm just planning and prepping a lot, or I'm doing something else that day where it's more of diving deep into something and figuring something out or organizing something, those are like backstage days. So teaching development and things like that, those are backstage days where I'm planning something. Let me talk about a couple more things. Business development is a big part of the weekly and monthly routine, but email correspondence has a lot to do with that. I'm in my email inbox a lot, maybe 40 to 60% of the day, something like that. And so it's on and off and that kind of thing. And I check it several times a day, but I'm reaching out to potential partners for some kind of business opportunity. Like maybe I'm having somebody back to teach inside members only office hours over there in Monthly Sharpener, or maybe I'm asking someone to come on to the podcast, or maybe I'm reaching out to someone about an art show coming up, or there's all these collaborative things that happen that they're maybe not in your business, but you're working with them. And so some of that doesn't ever materialize until maybe on the short end, maybe a month or two down the road, but more often it's like 12 months or something like that, 9 to 12 months. You'll see the results of something like that. Artistic creation, like what am I sitting down and working on art? So I like to do that in the morning. So remember, I'm getting up pretty early. So I'm working on, I'm doing exercise really early in the morning typically. So I go about 5 to 8 minutes away and I do a nature walk. I've got a nature center right here by my house. And so I go there and I walk for 30 minutes to an hour. And then I come back, shower. I get ready for whatever the big task is for the day. I have a top three on my planner system. Here's my planner right there. There it is. And anyway, I have a top three. And so I start, you know, marking those off and start working on that. The big chunk of my day is before lunch, though. So after I go through some planning, then I never schedule any art mentoring calls until afternoon. And if it's a day that I'm working on art, then I'm going to carve out at least 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours that I'm just working on art in the morning. If it's something I've really got to get done, I really need to focus on that, then I'm also going to work on that again in the afternoon, more hours dedicated to that. But if it's something where I'm recording something, or what I mean is with my, you know, voice or whatever, then I'm going to spend that time doing that very thing in that space of the 2 to 3 hours. So I try to just dedicate a lot of time. You know, that's one of the big differences, Barb. When I was in my corporate job, I could space out my day and I could just decide, oh, I'll task switch. You know, I get bored with this. I'll go do that. I'll go do this. You know, as long as I get all these things done, you know, I could decide right. Any old way to do it. I have learned how to become more efficient with my time. Now, sometimes it makes me bored to tears, but I know it's more efficient not to task switch. If you stay focused and you dive really, really, really deep in a particular area, you're going to get more done, less time overall, and discover things about whatever that siloed task is. So I've gotten pretty good at that and learned how to not be bored or not worry about being bored. I just do it because got to get it done somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's marketing development and planning. There's a lot of email development. Like my sales marketing, a lot of that happens during these big chunks of time, like writing sales pages, figuring out the funnel, there to figure out how to set up the email sequences, figuring out how to segment the list to decide who's going to get what, and figuring out that customer journey from start to finish. Because at the end of the day, guys, yes, I'm an artist, but I am first and foremost, I'm primarily an art instructor, because the whole reason why I got into this is because I wanted to help other artists who felt as I did when I started out in art. Because I don't have an art degree. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm figuring it out on the job, along the way. You know, I'm just trying to figure it out. So I want to help the person that was in my spot just a few years ago. So that's really my motivation. Getting up in the morning, I want to help the person who is just starting out and just learning about this medium. And so that's what really motivates me and drives me. So I usually eat, I eat a small breakfast before, a half a banana sometimes, or a few nuts or something like that before I go and walk. And then when I get back, I have my mushroom coffee, and then I drink a fruit and veggie smoothie that I make in a blender. And so I'm trying to stay a little bit healthy by doing that.
Sometimes, you know, now after this,
by evening, it's like, okay, I forget that I was trying to be healthy, you know.
What did straight you say? To the pizza.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, why did I have, why am I eating ice cream right now? I had that smoothie earlier, you know.
Because life is short. That's why you're eating ice cream.
Oh, anyway. So, but I tell you, lately, Barb, I'm so excited because the sales and marketing piece of it has gotten easier. It has gotten more approachable. I've done this solo for a long, long time. I have used assistants here and there through the years, but lately it's been just me. But now I have a planner assistant that I'm working with, and she is so good. She's really holding my feet to the fire on some things, and it's really great. I also have a new assistant or two. I do use ChatGPT, I use Google Bard, and a number of other tools that have AI built in. Grammarly, I love that thing. But connecting with my students, the people that I'm trying to help, that to me is more valuable than anything. So I've really ramped up a lot of my efforts in connecting with other people, mostly through art mentoring. And we just started group mentoring, group coaching as well, which is great.
Awesome.
That's high level skimming the surface on a lot of that, but I think it kind of gives you the picture. Now, if you talk to my wife, she would say, yeah, you work from 6:30 to 10 or 11 at night. She said, I don't know what's so glamorous about this. Like, she doesn't understand why I enjoy it. But anyway, but I can take a day off here and there. I can take an afternoon off. I may have to work a little later.
Are you telling me, or are you telling yourself?
Well, no, that's something that I get asked, though, quite a bit. People ask about that. A buddy of mine not that long ago is asking if I would go do this week-long kayaking trip. I love camping outdoors and that kind of thing. And I had to decline because I've got too many things in the pipeline right now that I'm trying to turn a corner on and release. Most of you guys never see this stuff. Some of you do, because it affects like 10 to maybe 30% of my email list, or, you know, my students. But it takes a lot of planning ahead of time to get some of that stuff, turn the corner and actually produce some of that, you know. Yeah, I know you know that, Barb, but
yeah. It's, well, we're telling the people.
Yeah, we are. We're yeah, I mean, I also want you guys to know, if you want to do this, I will be your biggest cheerleader. Because it's very rewarding. It is a lot of fun. There's always something to do, but you'll always feel behind a little bit. I think you will. You'll always feel, because you'll never be caught up with anything, but that's also fun. Anyway, yeah. What about you, Barb?
Oh boy.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, you know, after listening to your day, I feel like I need to get some structure in my life, because I'm a little bit loosey-goosey compared to you in terms
Well,
of...
I'm talking about ideal days and ideal weeks,
sure.
You know what I mean? Sometimes all it is customer service all day long. I mean,
yeah,
you know what that's like.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think for my typical day, I mean, I certainly, I'm not very much of a morning person. So my day starts a little bit later. That said, it also starts basically as soon as my dog decides he wants to come into our room and wake us up, which is lately at 7 a.m, which is for me, not a preferable time.
Barb wakes up a little bit later.
Yeah, I thought, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't have kids. This will be great. I'd never have to get up early. And then we got a dog, and the dog likes to get up early. So that's fun.
Don't let her fool you. She says she doesn't have kids.
I have a furry child. I get awakened by my adorable furry alarm clock. Every morning he, like clockwork, comes into our room and he sits on our bed and will sit there and either lick Matt until he wakes up or he'll just sit there and stare at us and like make a little yowl sound and it's like super cute but like kind of annoying because you're like, well, now I'm awake. And so sometimes we both will just lay there and hope that he just will give up and decide to nap again. I guess both Matt and I are just not, we're just not morning people. And that's just, you know, it works for us. But anyways, once I do get up, I am also a little bit guilty of doing, you know, the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Checking your email?
Yeah, like just the rotation of like Instagram, email, Facebook, whatever, you know, that circle of checking all the apps.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say don't do that. And a lot of these experts on how to plan your life and all that say don't do that. It stresses you out and all that. I mean, I don't sit there and linger on it. I mean, I have meditation and prayer time too.
Right.
And some time with my wife when we just can talk and sit there.
Good.
But that's at breakfast time, you know.
I'm glad Tanya's getting some of your time.
What's that?
So I'm glad she's getting some of your time.
Yeah, no. And I take a nap too. I mean, I have a non-negotiable nap that I take every day.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that said, I mean, similar to you, and when I'm doing those checks again, it's also to check to make sure nothing like, there's not a crisis happening.
You blow up. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Like, you know, website down, those sort of things, you know, when you are running any level of an art business where you have something that relies on something continually being up and working, like a website or, you know, a site where, you know, you're hosting courses or that sort of thing, it is important to kind of just check in on those things. Again, I think, you know, the takeaway from that also is to figure out what is also a healthy boundary for you. If checking those things first thing in the morning is stressful to you, then, you know, you don't want to do it. At the end of the day, is the world going to end because maybe your website's down? No, but at the same time, like, you know, the other side of it is, and the thing that people need to realize is when you start offering services at that level, you are wearing so many hats in terms of you're not just the creator of the content, you are the customer service, you are the IT person, you are all of the, like, to some extent, right? Like,
no, you are. And you're the liaison. You're not, sometimes you cannot, you're not the IT person because you don't have the keys, you don't have the tools, but you are relying on the IT people and you're the liaison. And I cannot tell you, I've spent hours out of my day unplanned where I have to talk to an IT person over chat. You know what I'm talking about, Barb.
Yeah.
And then trying to get something resolved. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
Sure. And you know, I mean, that's certainly part and parcel for kind of doing business, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
With those types of services. So, you know, for me, I kind of just do those initial checks. If there's nothing crazy happening or if there's an email that I need to respond to at some point, you know, I kind of assess that, you know, depending on who gets up first between. Unless it's Jenny, just wait. I wait as long as possible. No, I'm just kidding. So depending on who gets up first, you know, one of us will go let the dog out and, you know, Matt has a little bit more of a routine. So he'll make his morning coffee. He can't like talk to anyone until he's had coffee. I don't drink coffee. I can't drink caffeine. So for me, it's I'm getting into the habit of just having a full glass of water first thing in the morning.
Switch over to mushroom coffee. I'm going to have to convert you to mushroom coffee.
Like, does it have caffeine in it?
No, that's why I switched. I switched. Okay. I don't do caffeine anymore either.
Does it taste like coffee?
It tastes like coffee, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't like it has... for the taste of coffee.
Oh, here, so. Okay. Well, I can't help you with your problem in
I don't care there. For it.
I need therapy
I know,
for that.
I said that a little bit snootily, but anyways. So, you know, just kind of, you know, getting our day going, having some breakfast. My dog usually wants to play and I have to, you know, let him know that I need to go do some work, and he gives me a look like all you do is work and I hate you. And then we have to have a moment about it. So, you know, that's a daily thing. Right. And then I'll go upstairs to my office here. And then, you know, address any emails that need to be addressed, depending on what I'm doing that day. So if I am, graphic design freelancing is still a big part of, my world. So, you know, if I'm working, directly for a company as an employee that day, then, you know, my day is pretty much like I'm at an office, I'm at my desk working on whatever tasks, I'll take a scheduled lunch, that sort of thing. If I have a little bit more flexibility on a freelance project, then, you know, it'll just depend on what I'm working on. I usually will still try to structure my day very much like I'm working for them that day, just so that it gives me some kind of harder boundaries on getting the work done. I like to, you know, having worked in an agency for so long, I'm very used to that structure. So for me, it just makes sense to be able to kind of sit down and focus on something and work through it.
Right.
You know, depending on what the project is too, you know, I just did an annual report not that long ago. And I mean, it's a pretty intensive document. So, you know, that's something you want to be able to just kind of clear everything else from your schedule and be able to sit and focus and work on that. Because, yeah. You know, like you mentioned earlier, if you're kind of task jumping, that's when mistakes start to happen. Yeah. I mean, I'm fairly used to doing that as well, just again, from agency life and working on multiple projects throughout the day. And, you know, sometimes one will come back and they need a rush revision. And so you've got to be able to switch gears like that.
Yeah. There are certain things you can't avoid task switching sometimes. Yeah.
But I, you know, I try to minimize that because I do feel like it takes away from the overall productivity of whatever I'm working on that day. Well, so
it's been proven. It does. Yeah. It does take away from.
Yeah, so if I'm not freelancing and I kind of have just a day to work on solely my art business stuff, you know, lately if I've been, you know, working on paintings or something like that, I will block off or try to block off the whole day for mostly just painting. Just again, because it's one of those things where, you know, also just the nature of painting, for example, it's really hard to kind of start and stop with that. Colored pencil, it's a lot easier because you're not dealing with like a time-sensitive medium.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm working with paint, that, you know, you don't want things drying when you don't want them to dry or wait, you know, whatever. So it's that's a little bit of a different situation. You know, in an instance like the series of paintings I just did, sometimes what I'll do is work on part of it in the morning because it's inevitably probably going to need to dry, especially if you're working in oil. You can only get to a certain point and then it needs to dry. So then I'll plan my afternoon for some computer tasks or whatever. So, you know, whether that's, you know, I'm in the process of updating my website or, you know, if I have some other projects I'm working on, then I'll kind of break up my day that way. You know, I always make sure that I stop to take a lunch. I'm not great about taking as many breaks as I should, but definitely I am getting better with taking more computer breaks just because I have had a lot of health consequences from not, you know, too much screen time essentially. Yeah. So I'm really trying to be mindful of that. And I feel like, you know, the older I get, I can just feel it in my body and just the way that my overall health responds when I'm spending too much time in front of a screen. So trying to be mindful of that. And, you know, there are days where, you know, after dinner, I'll probably, you know, do a little bit more work, but I'm trying to sort of have a hard cutoff in terms of how late I'm doing computer stuff, because I've found that if I try to do anything on my computer after 9 p.m., I will toss and turn for the rest of the night. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and again, that's, I mean, I'm right now working with like a sleep therapist to kind of optimize that part of my life. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I mean, and maybe this has changed, but I feel like when I was younger, it's like I could work till no tomorrow. But now that I've gotten up in years.
That is a thing.
Yeah, like I just can't.
You get older.
I can't, and I don't want to. I mean, that's really the end of it. I don't really want to be working late into the night. But I mean, at the end of the day, there is a sleep consequence for me with that. Which you know, and if you know anything about this, like any kind of lack of sleep eventually just affects your overall health. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't have. I don't want to waste what youth I have left on abusing my, you know, my health to the point of having issues that are harder to reverse or causing other issues. So, you know, that's become a very big part of my day. And it is a large reason why I decided to, move more to freelance work and kind of pursue more of a full-time artist situation, which is ironic because I probably actually work more now than I ever used to, but I have the flexibility of, you know, again, with the exception of days where I'm booked to freelance for a company, I have the advantage to, like, you know, take a break in the middle of the day, go for a walk at any point that I want to. I can plan my days the way I want to. I can take a day in the middle of the week as a day off and then work the weekends if that's what works for me best. And so that part of it is a real advantage, and I found it's been really working well for me and for my life, because there are days where you wake up and it's like, you know, if you don't have anything that's scheduled and pressing, it's like, you know, I think today needs to be a me day. And as a creative, I mean, the other side of that too is that there's very much the business aspect to being an artist and doing that part of it, and that's a really large part of it, but the creative part of you needs that downtime to also create, right? And not just the physical act of creating, but being creative and sort of, you know, being able to sit there and think about the concepts you want to try and do. Or even for you, like, even if you're not doing something that's super conceptual, just having that moment to decide, okay, well, what do I want to create? Do I want to, what images do I want to choose to make into artwork? Whatever. Like,
That does take time. You're right. It you have to develop those things. It doesn't just, and I'm not, you know, you and I mean, everyone who's an artist, we're not waiting for a muse, you know. I know you in the audience, you know what I'm talking about as well. We're not waiting for a muse. We're developing the thing. And same way with style or anything, we have to develop those things. They're cultivated, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean,
it takes time.
Totally. And you want to give yourself that mental downtime to be able to, you know, let your brain kind of rest and wander 100%. To those places, right?
Yes.
So, you know, for me, I have a little bit of I get into these moments where I have like a million ideas and then I need to write them all down and I want to try and do them all at once, which is like not possible.
Right.
But, you know, and list making has been a very big thing for me, having a planner, like trying to structure my thoughts and organize them. And, you know, I talked about that in my August newsletter on my email list, is just, you know, some tips on how to attack when you feel really overwhelmed and getting those, you know, those, get all the ideas out, get all the things out that you feel like you need to do, and then breaking them down into more actionable steps where you're talking about like, oh, what's so-and-so doing today? And like, what's this on my list? You know what I mean? And finding that prioritization of what you need to be doing. And, you know, for me, if I give myself five things to do, I mean, it happened even just this week, I had five things I was going to do on Monday, got about half of them done. So I just moved the ones I didn't do to the next day. I mean, if you look at it, like, unless it's something super pressing, if you look at your time organization, even just in weeks, and give yourself some flexibility, it allows you to not feel super overwhelmed or upset if you don't complete something, because you know, okay, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then you're like, you know, I mean, if you keep doing that continually, it becomes a problem, but you just got to give yourself like a 2-day flex window.
No,
right?
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have a little arrow that I'll curve and point in to the right. And so I know it goes, that task went to tomorrow. you know.
I mean, like those, the great thing about this life is that you have flexibility to kind of do whatever you want. Yeah. You have to be willing to be your own boss. And I think for people who aren't really naturally inclined to be structured with their time and with their day, you definitely want to rely on maybe some of those tools that you mentioned earlier as well to help you structure your time and your day. You know, I don't feel that I struggle too much with that. I mean, I still do some time, but, you know.
Yeah, the bottom line is also, and I'm glad you mentioned that, you can have all the tools in the world. If you are not a disciplined person, it's going to show, and you're going to start not liking yourself, because you've got to be structured and you've got to be disciplined. No one's going to tell you. And, you know, and that's one thing, Barb, like, and I know you know this, because you've been working and doing, work as an artist for a long time. But one thing is, as artists, as creatives, we have the ability to do nothing or do our work, right? And if you do nothing one day, it's not going to matter. If you do nothing 2 or 3 days, it might matter. You know, but you can get into this thing where you're not actually doing anything productive, you know, or you can be working on the wrong things. You can be working hard on the wrong things. That sweet spot is when you're working on the right thing at the right time. I had to dig down deep and learn a new level of discipline when it was just me, because you can just take every day off if you want to. And I've seen artists do that. You probably have too, where they're just like, no, I'm just not going to do anything, you know, for the next 2 or 3 months. That affects 2 or 3 months, even down the road, if you do that, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those things where you can kind of just afford to sit on your laurels all the time. I mean, I would think, too, it really just depends on what your situation is. I mean, if you're still doing this part-time, it might be different for you.
Part-time, totally different story.
Yeah, or if you don't necessarily need to worry about your financial situation, that can also be give you a little bit more freedom. But, but certainly that's not the case for either of us. Like, if we're not working, it usually means we're also not generating any kind of an income, which is obviously a problem. So
that would be a problem.
So I mean, being very disciplined is probably the first thing that you really, really need to sort of be successful at doing this. And, you know, especially if you have the extra, you know, responsibilities of, you know, having a family, especially if you have young kids. I mean, John, your kids are older, so it's, you know, that's a little bit different situation for you. But certainly having children, having a partner, you don't want to neglect those real personal relationships, because at the end of the day, even so you're running a business, your personal life's important too. And as a creator and as an artist, like, those relationships are also fueling, you know, part of your creativity. So, you know, it's important, you know, so for me, I try very hard if I can to sort of keep my evenings free, unless I have something bigger that I'm working on, or evenings are kind of more filled with the downtime part of the day. So, you know, mid morning to like early evening is kind of the sweet spot for me to get work done. You know, sometimes after dinner, it's really hard for me to kind of get back into it. Usually, if it's not something that's a super important computer task, I'll usually throw in some painting or something that just feels like more of a relaxing activity. Just because, or something, you know, if it's colored pencil, it's something I can kind of bring and do it in front of the TV, so I'm not spending all of my time in this room, which I learned during the pandemic that, you know, being in one room all day starts to feel a little claustrophobic. I mean, I was in a condo at the time, so it was different. It's a little nicer with the house. You actually feel like you can, you've gone somewhere else. I mean, I think, you know, my day is generally structured that way. But again, it's not the same every day. It really just depends on, you know, what I have scheduled, what's going on. And I love that not every 2 days are the same. However, when you're talking about getting, if you're the kind of person that craves routine and needs a lot of structure, that's when you want to start maybe making your days a little bit more the same as much as possible, or planning certain tasks for certain times of the day, right, so that you're kind of optimizing your time.
Hey, everyone. I hope you've been enjoying this discussion Barb and I have been having about a day in the life of an artist. And we had so much we wanted to share that we had to split this up into two parts. So this was part one of a two-part discussion. Part two will be out next week. Until then, take care and stay sharp. Bye-bye.